Let's shout his praises tonight. You all may be seated as Jessica McGahey comes to share with us a testimony and Miss Dorothy McLean. Miss Dorothy, will you come share with us tonight?
Good evening. So wonderful to be here with all you guys tonight. You guys are such a blessing. I gotta say, Christian Fellowship really found me when I took and needed it, when I just recently joined the military out of Great Lakes. Was really feeling lost at the time, and now that I found the Lord, I feel like I'm a part of something bigger, a bigger family, and I know I've got the biggest support chain in the world. So I come from a divorced family, and so it made it really, really hard when I first started my walk with faith, but that hasn't stopped me in the least, and God's proven over and over again that he's been there for me every step of the way, even when I wasn't actually seeking him. So that's a great blessing to me, and like I said, I was blessed enough to find the fellowship in Great Lakes, where I followed over to Dogren, and Pastor Payne and Debbie were kind enough to come up and take in a visit me while I was up there, and I also received letters and stuff from the fellowship in Great Lakes, so that was really very encouraging while I was up there. And now I'm here, and every day is different with being on a ship and everything, and everybody here keeps me so supported. Everything from taking me to the airport and giving me rides there and seeing that I get home safely and back here safely and just spending time with me, and that I am so thankful for. So that's a little bit about me.
My testimony is the same one I had during the conference. September 15th of 2013, I had a stroke. And God has been with me every step of the way. I'm got on heels tonight the first time since I had the stroke. And how I came to this church, the billboard outside. I used to live around the corner, but I passed this church every day. And every day I would read that sign and go, I wonder who's changing that. And then I don't remember now exactly what it said, but it said enough to get me moving. I said, I'm going to join that church. So when I came in, the first person I saw was Candy. And I asked her, I said, is this a denominational church? She said, no. She said, it's not denominational. I said, well, this is where I belong. So I'd like to thank you all for praying for me and being there for me. Because without you, it would not happen. And just one more thing. Keep your eyes on God. Because without him, none of us did it. Thank you.
We're going to ask Mariana to come up and Selassie and share with us this evening.
As Mariana comes up, I want to talk about her just a little bit and tell you that Mariana has been part of this church since she was a very young girl, and she's just home on her Christmas break after her very first semester in college. So make her feel welcome.
Hey, how are y'all doing? You good? First off, it has not felt like 4 months since I left here. Just saying. And also that last night when I got here, everyone was expecting me to be freezing cold. It's actually warmer here than it is in Texas. So it's actually not cold. Anyway, so these last 4 months have been some of the craziest months ever because I've learned a lot about myself, though. And about like able to do something you didn't think you could do. Because there's been times when I know full good and well it's not me that's doing something. Because I know that I was not up until that late studying for that test, not knowing anything, even though I tried. but the next day ended up getting like a B on it. So yeah, it wasn't me that did that. But I've learned a lot about trusting people and trusting myself to do something even when I didn't think I would do it. And I've also been writing a lot, so that's been it's been my relief of what to do. So it's just been journaling down everything that's been going on. But yeah, so there you go. I don't like speaking in front of people.
Hi. I'm thankful for being here. I've been coming here since I was a little girl. And I just want to thank God for my friends and family here. And thank you for everything. And God bless you guys.
Christopher Labisse here and his lovely wife Bridget are here. I'd like to ask Christopher to come and to share a little bit. And as he's coming, he has been stationed in the Washington, D.C. area and serves the United States Navy there, but more than that, serves the Lord Jesus Christ. And just share with us what's on your heart tonight, my brother.
All right, good evening. Happy New Year, everyone. It's kind of amazing as I look at Mariana and actually look at Selassie. I remember teaching them both in Kids Kingdom. It's kind of remember cherry pickers. So inside joke if they know what that means. I just want to share and just say very happy to be here. And I have to give kudos to Pat Tamaklo for stealing my words. There's no other place I'd rather be than here tonight. It's awesome to be here. To worship with everyone here, and just to be here with brothers and sisters that you know that love you and you love them back, and to hold you up when you need it, and to give you strength and to pray for you, and to just have a card and just to say we're praying for you and to thank you. It's just really, really amazing, and I just want to say thank you for each and every one of you for what you've done over the last years. Over the last couple months to help me, and over actually the last several years. Today marks my spiritual birthday, and it's just amazing that I never thought that I'd be still, I didn't think I was going to walk away or anything, but it's just amazing that after so many years, 19 years, to be back here and worshiping with you, and it's just amazing. I know I'm going a little long, apologize, but I just want to just acknowledge a couple people, just because you guys were here when I first walked through the doors, and really, really supported me and helped me. And if I miss your name, I apologize. But Pastor Thomas is not here; he's away with family. Pastor Wilson, when I first came through the doors, rebuked me about 3 or 4 times a day, just for being a knucklehead. Carlos Vargas, Jeff Linger, Aaron Shemp, Rod Williams, Ricardo McPherson is not here today, Will Spells, Bob Kinski, you guys really, really, really made an impact in my life, and I just want to say thank you. Being single and having brothers there to help you out and really strengthen you and take care of you when you need it the most. And I just want to say thanks. Mark Sanders, Dave Rivera, Josh Fenelis, just say thank you, Tim Ragsdale. And just I really, really appreciate it. And I apologize again if I miss a few of your names. And of course, 2 younger sisters that the most annoying younger sisters that you could ever have in your entire life, and that's Christy and Kathy, and I really appreciate it. I really, really appreciate it. Christy and I had shared a English class together at ODU, and she'd never forget how I was able to get over it, and she wasn't. So I just want to, again, I know I was long, I just want to say thank you. It's been an honor, it's been a privilege and I count myself worthy to be among outstanding, strong, beautiful Joe Goolsby. God bless you, brother. Brothers, sisters who've just constantly is always there to help me out. Brad Logan, Mike Jackson, really appreciate it. Just constantly being there to lift a brother up when they need it. And with all that said, apologize, I just like took like so much time. And I really, 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 really appreciate all you've done and all you do to help everyone out. And 19 years later, there'll be some other guy who looks just like me, probably up here. It'd be a, I'm not saying, okay. Hopefully this year soon though. All right, God bless you.
Amen. If you know his love goes on, it never fails you, church. It always goes on and on. His love through every rise and fall we have in this life, because we do have ups and downs as Christians, but God's love for us never fails us. Give him praise tonight as Pastor Payne comes.
Amen. You may be seated. Just take a few moments to think about this year 2014 that we're ending, wrapping up, saying goodbye to, putting in the history books. Pat said it in the opening, you know, did you get everything done, every resolution, everything you set out to do, did you get it all done? And I'd be surprised if anyone was able to say absolutely positively 100% everything I set out to do without exception I was able to accomplish. And if you can say yes to that, first I would like to say congratulations. And then I would like to say that, you know, we've got to be careful that we didn't set those goals by our own choosing. And so tonight, it's my prayer, it's my hope that we will be challenged as we start this new year. We look at new calendars. I have a calendar in my bedroom, and this morning I realized there's no January. It's done. It's the 2014 calendar, and I've got to get another calendar. And it's interesting, isn't it, when we start something new? Start a new year. Take a moment and prayerfully think. Take a moment and prayerfully think. Lord, what would you have me to do in 2015? With each day that you give me, with each breath that you give me, with each moment you give me, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do with this time, with this breath, with this opportunity? How would you have me to use this opportunity that you provide? And I want to say something, I know these are sobering words I'm about to say, but I think it's altogether fitting and proper to do it. Some of us won't be alive this time next year, and that's if the Lord tarries his coming. Some of us won't be alive this time next year. And you look back over the years that have passed, it's amazing. You know, when someone has lived a long, long life, If you're seated next to someone who's 110 years old, they might be thinking, well, you know, this is probably my last New Year's Eve service. Maybe not. Maybe you're more optimistic than that. But you think, but you know what? There's lots of people that won't be here this time next year that had every reason to think they would be. Health and age and all those things. It's very sobering to realize that we don't have any promise of tomorrow. We have a promise of a God that loves us. We have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and to live a life that's pleasing to God. And I hope that this New Year's Eve, we will take this opportunity to really think about Everything Becoming New. And the title of the message is Behold, All Things Become New. And I would like to ask you to do some inventory in your life. Is there anything that you know in your life isn't pleasing to God? Now, some things, you know, we're not even aware of yet. There are some things that God may want us to clear out of our life. We're not even there yet. We haven't even realized them yet. But those aren't the things I'm asking you to do inventory of right now. I'm asking you to do inventory of anything you know of in your life. And there's the obvious things at the beginning of the list, but is there anything at all in your life? Anything at all in your life? And you think, you know what, the Lord, if I'm really going to live a life that God can use, that God can bless, that will be of service to God, this has to change. This has to change. If there is, then really and truly ask God in this service tonight, before the clock strikes 12, Lord, let that be. Let this be the beginning of that change. Let that change now. Let that change now. Let that change now. And I know some of you, you thought of something, and some of you, you're fine. You're good. You know that everything's okay. You're at peace. You just want to be better and better and strive to do more and more. And that's good. That's a healthy place to be. But I'm going to walk through some scriptures with you tonight. And I pray that God will speak to you, and that the result of God speaking to you and to me this night will be that we will do more for the glory of God than we have before. Could the church say amen? Pray with me. God Almighty, as we look to the scriptures tonight, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to let this be the beginning afresh, a new beginning, a new start, all things made new in a way that brings glory to you, God. Let our co-workers, our shipmates, our classmates, our neighbors, let them see something that has changed in our life. And let them, when they inquire about it, let them hear the answer that it's you in our life that is different. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. In the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter, in verse 22, Jesus was speaking, and he was talking about not putting new wine in old bottles. And the containers for wine in that day were a flexible container, mostly leather skin. And as wine is put into the container, it goes through some changes. And part of that means that there needs to be room for expansion and change. And what Jesus was doing is he was speaking to those who didn't understand what the disciples that were working with Jesus was doing. And he was saying, you know what, we're not going to keep filling those old bottles with new wine. We're not going to, and in today's language we use bottles, but it would have been a wine sack. When I was younger, we called them Boda bags. But he said, you don't put new wine in them. You want to start fresh. You want everything new. And so what I'm asking you tonight is, how much old are you willing to carry into the new year? How much old are you willing to carry into the new year? Well, this is the way I am. Have you ever heard anyone use the excuse for their explosive anger or their whatever inappropriate behavior? Well, that's just the way I am. You have to accept that. It's just the way I am. Well, wouldn't it be something if that's just the way you were? If it's just the way you were, if it's just the way you used to be, if it's just the thing that God wants to change. Do you remember when Christ was speaking to the rich young man and he said, what must I do to be saved? And the Lord told him, and he said, all these things have I done from my youth up, and they were a list of commandments. He said, yet one thing thou lackest. And he told him that he had to go and sell what he had and give it to the poor, and that was his stumbling block. I don't believe that that Jesus was saying that everybody has to sell everything they have and give it to the poor. But that man had an issue with that. That was his area of pride. That was his area where he had amassed something and he wasn't willing to yield that part of his life to God. And so I'm asking you tonight, and I'm going to preach in a moment, but I'm asking you tonight, is there any area of your life that you still have the safe closed on? God, this one, you could deal with all these other things, but this one here, this is mine. If that's it tonight, open the safe and say, Lord, it's yours. Lord, it's yours. Don't hold anything back from God, and He won't hold anything back from you. This Sunday I preached, seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. And what happens if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Scripture tells us all these things. So if you're worried that you're going to let go and you're going to be left without, stop worrying about that. Turn it over and trust God. Amen? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we read these words. Be not conformed to this world. This world will do everything within its power to conform us to it, to shape us to it, to mold us to it, to make us fit the world. And you know what? It's not our job as Christians to fit in with the world. It's not our job as Christians to make the world fit in with us. We're supposed to be transformed. We're supposed to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We are supposed to be different. Amen? We're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be recognized as something other than the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. I don't want to be just enough of a Christian that I never offend anyone. Now, there are some offenses that we ought to avoid. And in fact, most offenses we should avoid. But when it comes to the truth, sometimes the truth is offensive, and let it offend. Amen? I'm not talking about picking a fight because you want to fight somebody. I'm talking about letting the truth be truth. The Bible said, let every man be a liar and the word of God be true. And in Romans 12 and 2, when it said, be not conformed to this world, it goes on to say, but be ye transformed. Transformed. Changed. Made into something different. Be ye transformed. By the what? That's how we're transformed. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I want to spend the remainder of my time with you tonight talking about this thing, this idea of having our mind renewed, afresh. Not only here on New Year's Eve, but every day of our life, having our mind renewed, having our life renewed, and be transformed by that renewing. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove to who? Prove to everyone that sees your life. Prove to everyone that watches you, everyone that listens to you, everyone that knows who you are and what you do. You should live that life and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When I became a Christian, I was 19 years old. I was in the United States Navy. I was a junior enlisted man. For those of you who are civilians, it just means I was just getting started in the working up the ranks. And I only did 4 years of service to my country in the Navy, so I only made it four steps, E4. But at the time that I became a Christian, I had already worked where I worked for a while. And so I had made some friends. And my friends and I did things that I'm not proud of. I don't want to give any glory to the devil, and I don't want to talk too much about it other than to say that I wasn't living for God. And I would go drinking with these guys and do things that, you know, you do when you're away from home for the first time and you're young and you want to have friends and you do those things. And I would go drinking with them and I'd listen to their jokes and I'd laugh at their jokes and I'd do those things. And then I became a Christian. And when I became a Christian, behold, all things became new. And I wouldn't listen to those jokes anymore. Not just that I didn't laugh at them. I'd tell them, hey, don't tell that joke around. I don't want to hear that. You know I'm a Christian. Stop making fun of me by trying to get me to laugh at something. I know I used to laugh at that junk, but I don't laugh at it anymore. It's not funny anymore. I'm different. I changed. And they used to get me to try to go drinking with them. And of course I wouldn't go drinking with them. I was a new creature. I had changed. But when I wouldn't do those things, then it turned to the workplace. And I'm not going to go on and on and on about what they did, but I got to tell you, there was this one particular guy. He was my leading petty officer, which means he was several steps above me. He was a first-class petty officer, and he was in charge of our work unit. And it was his mission. It was his mission to prove that my Christianity wasn't real and that I was just some guy that was going to church. And he did all kinds of crazy stuff. And I could tell you some of them, and those of you who've been in the Navy, probably we could have a good laugh about it. But the truth is, it wasn't funny at the time. And our work schedule was, we worked every other weekend. And then, of course, if you worked a three-day weekend, then the following weekend, you had a three-day weekend off. And since he was in charge of the duty roster, he liked to switch my duty station every Thursday. Rotation. Every other week, you know. So the day before my three-day weekend, he'd say, "We need you on the starboard watch," and then the day before my three-day weekend, 2 weeks later, he'd say, "We need you on the port watch," and so this was funny to him, you know, that I kept working three-day weekends back to back. He says, "Hey, we're a man short. We need you on the starboard watch again," and then we need you. you get what I'm saying? So it was just things like that. And he got me in trouble with my command a couple times by putting my name on the watch list the day of watch when I wasn't there. So of course that meant I didn't show up for my watch. And every time I was gonna go to my senior chief, who was a real great leader. He was a wonderful man, and I loved him. I mean that in a manly, respectful. I really respected him and admired him, and a great guy. Several times I started to go to him and say to him, you know, this guy, he's got it out for me, and he's making my life miserable, and he's making me look like I'm a, you know, I don't want to work. You know, I'm getting in trouble for missing watches, and the reason I keep getting switched from port to starboard, he says I'm not doing my job, And I always wanted to go to senior chief and get it straightened out, you know, because he was the big boss and he was the man in charge. And every time I'd go, I felt that, I heard that, feel that leading of God, heard that still small voice. I got this. I got this. I got this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was a young Christian. I was a new creature. Behold, all things had been made new. And this was new to me. This trusting God, this leading of the Holy Spirit that I was yielding to, it was new to me. Well, Senior Chief retired, and all of us that worked for him, we were at that event, and I remember I walked outside just as he pulled off the parking lot. I could still picture his car, and he pulled. It was a Rambler station wagon. Some of you are too young to know what I just said there, but a Rambler station wagon, and he pulled off the parking lot, and I waved, and he waved. It just happened that I happened to walk outside as he was pulling away, and I waved, and he waved. And I was walking down the sidewalk towards my barracks, and I saw his Rambler station wagon coming back, and he stopped. He says, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure, Senior, what's up?" He was very emotional. He said, "I owe you an apology." I said, "What for, Senior? You've been an awesome boss. I've enjoyed working for you. What do you mean?" He said, "I knew what was happening all along. All those months, I knew what was happening. But I just wanted to know if it was real. I just wanted to know if it was real, so I never stepped in. I never intervened. I never did anything. And I kept thinking, if it's real, he won't come to me. He'll let God handle it. You see, behold, all things are new. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we don't fail. But it means that we're not conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I said I wanted to spend the remainder of my time talking with you how we have that renewing of our mind. Because that's what allowed me to have that testimony. And as I tell that story tonight, I hope you hear it in the context of testimony. I'm not saying, look what a great sailor I was. That's not the message. I wasn't a great sailor. I was just a young guy who had become a Christian, and God changed my life, and I was going to live like a new person. Amen? One of the ways we can do it is in our prayer life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing, a three-word scripture. Pray without ceasing. How is it that we can pray without ceasing? Does that mean that we keep our head bowed all day long? Of course not. But it means that we have a conversation with God that is going on a regular basis. Do you just pray at the end of the day, or at the beginning of the day, or in church, or at mealtime? Because if that's how you're praying now, I'm not criticizing. I'm saying to you that I would say to you tonight that one of the best ways, one of the greatest tools we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind is prayer. It's that communication with God. And it may start out as a one-way communication, but it won't be long if you're sincere and you're earnest and you're consistent in your prayer life that it becomes two ways. You start hearing from the Lord as you read the Scripture. The Scriptures start coming alive to you. They start speaking to you. You start hearing from God as you read through the Scriptures, both Old Testament and New. And the Lord highlights it for you spiritually. And He says, that's your message. That's your answer to your question. That's what you need right now. Focus on this. This is where you're failing. This is what you need to do more of. This is what you need to let go of. And the Holy Word starts to speak to you, and the Holy Spirit is leading. Could the church say amen? And I came to you tonight to say, if you don't have a healthy and strong prayer life, put it as one of the biggest things you can do starting right now in your life, is that pray without ceasing. I touched base a little bit on that on Sunday. And I said, you know, when there's an emergency, it's fine to call 911, but as you're going to dial the phone, you should be calling on King Jesus. Amen? And by the way, I don't mean sit down and have 30 minutes of reading the fine points of Deuteronomy. Pick up the phone and call 911, but you better call Jesus before you dial 9. Amen? Pray without ceasing. And some of you, I know, as a matter of fact, I absolutely am confident that as I say that, you're saying, I do that, I do that, I do that. I'm constantly speaking to God. And He's constantly speaking to me. And some of you are wondering, how could you possibly, with a schedule as busy as your schedule is, with life as busy as your life is, how could you possibly pray without ceasing? You don't have time to stop what you're doing to do that. I'm not talking about stopping what you're doing. I'm talking about that constant communication with God. Pray without ceasing. It is the number one tool that we have. I will tell you that it is, if you have not taken that on as a spiritual challenge to pray without ceasing, I'm trying as hard as I know how to tell you tonight that it is the tool that you need to start using. And it won't be easy at first, but it'll come to where it's second nature. Amen? It's become, when I use the word habit, sometimes we can have absent-minded habits, but it's become such a part of my life that the first thing I do when I open my eyes in the morning is say, thank you, Jesus. Amen? When I became a Christian, that was something I had to work to do, that kind of communication. in heavy traffic and a car changes lanes and you think there's going to be an accident and then there isn't, and you say, thank you, Jesus. Or even as the car is changing lanes, you say, dear Lord. That constant communication, that constant speaking to God, not just because there's a problem on the road, but because you're breathing. Amen? Another tool we have to transform our mind is study. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, the devil's a liar. Would you say that out loud? The devil's a liar. Yes, he is. And if we don't study to show ourselves approved, we won't recognize the lies of the devil when he's telling them. And the devil's going to do everything. If you don't understand what I mean by the devil is a liar and you need to study to show yours, read the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew about how Jesus was tempted. And by the way, it's interesting. Jesus was baptized in chapter 3, then he was tempted in chapter 4. And the way that Jesus dealt with every temptation was he knew what he was about. He knew who he was. He knew where he was going. He wasn't conformed to this world in any way, shape, or form. And that's where we need to be Christ-like. And we need to study the Word so that we recognize it. I admire people that are great historians and that really can get all the nuances and get all the everything out of Scripture. Could you open that for me? And get everything out of Scripture, all the, you know, the historical aspects of it and everything. I think that's awesome when people do that. I admire that. And they say, well, you know, back in 20 BC, and they go on and talk about all the historical information about this. But how about when you can just take the Word of God all by itself, and you could say, that's right, that's wrong. I don't mean the Scriptures are right or wrong. I'm talking about your life, circumstances. God would have me to do that. He wouldn't have me to do that. He would have me to do that. He wouldn't have me to do that. Amen? Study to show thyself approved. And if you don't have a good study habit, I can't think of a better time in the year than on New Year's Eve to say, I'm going to start reading the Bible every day. If you don't have a good study habit, start now. Start now. If you don't have a good study habit, start now. In fact, in the Resource Center, they have Read Your Bible in a Year pamphlets. Pick one up and put yourself on a schedule and read the Scripture. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this one's interesting, and I understand if this sounds a little odd at first. Stay with me. In Proverbs 16:3, we read these words, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, I got to tell you, in my way of thinking, common sense thinking, that's backwards. It seems to me like I ought to have it thought through before I start acting. Does that make sense? Measure before you cut. That's sort of the way I think as a human being. But what we're reading here is that when we want our thoughts to be established, when we want to think the way God wants us to think, when we want to have a clear understanding in our mind, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind, when we want our thoughts to be clear, it's by having Christian actions. Amen? Sometimes you have to act your way into thinking right. Do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Do the right thing because it's the right. Some people are waiting until it feels right to do the right thing. Stop waiting for it to feel right. Doesn't always feel right to do the right thing, but it's always right to do the right thing. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Study to show thyself approved. And now commit your works unto the Lord. Commit your works unto the Lord. Some of you are waiting for lightning to strike before you take action. Take some action. Amen? My wife said to me yesterday, some new people moved into the cul-de-sac that we live at here in Norfolk. And she said to me, there's a new couple across the cul-de-sac. I need to find an opportunity to meet them. And we pulled in the driveway today, and she got out of the car, and she started heading the wrong way. She wasn't heading towards the house. And I thought, I wonder where Debbie's going. And then I realized that the lady that moved in across the street from us was coming out to check her mail, and Debbie took the opportunity and went and met her. And it turned out to be just the right time, because she and her husband are both military, and his schedule is quite demanding, so is hers. And she's expecting. She's a month away from her due date. And Debbie offered her our home number, and Debbie offered her cell number and said, I know we only just met now, but I'd be glad to be available if you ever need me. I'm right across the cul-de-sac, and I know you're expecting a child. And she was extremely grateful, and she was so glad to meet Debbie. And I went over and said hello. She was okay with that, too, but she was so glad to meet Debbie. To have a friend in the cul-de-sac, someone that told her, you can call me whenever, whatever time, day or night, and if there's anything you need, if it's possible, I'll provide it for you. I'll be there. We're supposed to do something. If Debbie waited until she thought, well, you know what, I got to get the words just right. I've got to wait till I'm you know, because actually, at the time that happened, Debbie was helping me with a project at the house. So I had a problem with our kitchen sink and the faucet. And so I was in blue jeans and a T-shirt, and Debbie was dressed in everyday clothes. And if Debbie would have thought, you know, I'm going to wait till my hair's fixed just right and I've got a dress on. But Debbie saw the opportunity, and she took it. And she went and met her. And you know what? Who knows what that'll lead to? But our actions are important. And if your thoughts are wrong, and you know you're supposed to do the right thing. Now, this isn't just husband and wife relationships, but to those of you who are married, let me pry a little bit into this area of your life. You pretty much know what's right and what's wrong. If you're pouting and you turned your back to your spouse, you're wrong. No, I don't even care if you have a reason to be that way. You're wrong. Yeah, I said it. I just took your spouse aside. Sometimes love is a verb. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. And so we're supposed to do the right thing, and then our thoughts will follow. Amen? And the next scripture I want to ask you to look at with me is about sacrifice. Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 30. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. You know, isn't it sometimes interesting how we think we have really done more than we have really done? Mariana, you said it well in your testimony. You know, you get a B on a test. You know that God blessed you. Amen? But how many times do we really take time to recognize that God has blessed this effort? You know, I did this. And I hope that's what you heard me say when I shared that little piece of my testimony from the days when I was in the Navy. You know, that wasn't me being a great guy, a great Christian, or a great sailor. It was me just allowing God to do something through me. Amen? Because how could I have possibly known that the senior's chief litmus test was going to be if he comes to me? Does that make sense? But if he just stays quiet and suffers patiently and goes through that because he's a Christian and he wants his Christian testimony to stand for not only the first class that's causing him all the headaches, but the other sailors that he works with, then I'll know it's real. Because and after he said that, several things came back just like that to me. The days that he'd walk up to me, it seemingly, I thought, why would he do that? He'd just walk up and say, how's everything, Payne? I'd say, great, senior. You getting along with everyone well? Yeah, fine, senior. You like it here? Love it, senior. You know? I mean, like opening the door. Anything you want to talk to me about? It's all good here, senior. Right? And you don't know what people are looking for. So then Peter said, Lo, we've left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, there's no man that has left house or parent or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. So if you're worried about sacrificing too much and you'll be left without, Jesus says that's not so. Don't worry about that. Go ahead. If it's a proper sacrifice for the glory of God, do it. Amen? If it's a proper sacrifice for the glory of God, do it. Amen? I'm going to tell a story, and I pray that once again, you will see this for the point that I'm telling it. It's not me saying, look what I did. I'm telling you, look what God did through this simple little thing. There was a time in 19, give or take, 79, 80, somewhere in there. The ministry had a need for $6,000. And the pastor told us, he said, we have a need. It's urgent for $6,000. I want y'all to pray. And if anybody sees that a way that you can give all of it or part of it, please do, because it's urgent and it's real. And so we all prayed. And the night hadn't passed before I felt like, gee, you know what? My car's paid off and it's worth $6,000. And I liked that car. Actually, I was pretty proud of that car. And I'm a car guy, and it was a nice car. And the Lord spoke and said, give it. Sacrifice it. That's where we're at, right, in the scriptures? Sacrifice it. And I put my car up for sale, and it sold. I put an ad in the paper. First day, guy came, gave me $6,000 cash. And I gave it. And Debbie wasn't, you know what? This is probably the only thing Debbie's ever done wrong in her whole life. This is probably it. I'm about to reveal it right here. She said, so Pete, you got $6,000 for the car and you gave $6,000, so now what are you going to drive? And I had $175, and I went and bought an old Chevy for $175. And you know what? I drove that car for, I don't remember, 3-4 months. And I could start telling you what happened time after time after time after time. That was the reason I told you the year, so you'd realize when I tell you this next part. I've had nice cars to drive from that day till this. Pull that scripture up again. I've had nice cars to drive from that day till this. I've really been blessed that way. And I think that I have to give credit to God for the fact that there was a time in my life when he said, give it, and I did. And that doesn't make me a hero. Quite the opposite. I'm telling you, God outgave me by thousands of times over again. He said, who shall receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. God's been good to me. And maybe you're here tonight on this New Year's Eve service and you're struggling with sacrifice. My last scripture is Philippians 4 and 8. Singers, get ready to come because you're going to have to come quick because I just looked at the clock and we're going to sing a song before we say Happy New Year. So you come up and start taking your places while I'm reading this right now. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And I will tell you, saints, that one of the best ways that we can become that new creature is to think on these things, is to get our mind right and reject ugly thoughts, reject unspiritual thoughts. Reject when Satan comes and he tries to get us sideways about something. Some of us, we've got, you know what? If the devil gets an inch, he's going to get us to go there. Whatever that ugly thought is, whatever that painful thought is, whatever that time in our life is that brings us the most hurt, the most pain. Here's the remedy. Think on these things. God gives us the way. It's up to us to take it. And my prayer is that as we leave 2014 and enter 2015, that we'll be new creatures because we chose to be, but more than that, because God will do it for us if we simply yield.